Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same time. So let us pray. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Fill me up, God.
love of God, overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul, all my soul is yours, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise be to God. God of my praise, you are my strength and my song. I exalt you because you have become my salvation. I give you praise because you are the one true God. Who is like you among the gods? Who is like you in all of the earth? Who is majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, and continually working wonders? Only you, God of my praise. You are deserving of my praise and my admiration. Great are you, God, and greatly to be praised. You are to be feared above all else. I ascribe to you the glory, do your name, and come before you in humble prayer to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Stole from me, cause I believe.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Rejecting Unbelief. In Romans 4:20 says, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Praise God. The writer says, today's verse is about Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. Over the decades, he waited for God to give him a son. He did not falter in unbelief or grow discouraged that his body was too old to produce an heir. He kept trusting the Lord even when earthly hope was gone. None of us wants to struggle with unbelief, but it is the sin which so easily entangles us. Hebrews 12:1. Either we don't really believe in God's existence, or we don't truly trust his character, that he's God and rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. We do this on a practical level, relying more on the evidence we gather by our senses than on what he says is true. That's when we fall into wrongful thinking, that it's all up to us. We must find our own way because we don't trust him to provide what's best. Don't make this mistake. Unbelief will not only hinder you, but can actually destroy you. Therefore, be like Abraham. Lay aside your doubts and make the conscious choice to believe God exists. And he rewards you with his best when you seek him. Keep trusting the Lord when your earthly hope is gone, because that's when he receives the glory. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I believe you. Drive out my unbelief. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, just want to let you know that you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please call in, dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
Speaks of wisdom. You said, raise yourself and answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, Have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve your glorious love. Is more than enough. What words could I use to explain? Forever I trust in your glorious love. Your glorious love. Thunder, you said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
greater.
praise, God. God of praise, I bow before the majesty of your glory and all that is due to you. And I confess I'm guilty of trying to take your praise and steal your glory. Too often I attempt to take credit for that which you have done. I fail to remember that you are the one who shows favor, open doors, and give me the opportunity I experience in my life. I can do nothing apart from you, so you are worthy of all of my heartfelt and trust praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Okay.
And unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever.
Say hallelujah,
hallelujah,
Lord, bless your name. Come on, give the Lord a praise number. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before Him. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
And where you start, I am the one. just let me be who I am to you. And consider when God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed, but you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. But body's rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but. And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. I have learned to trust in Jesus. Amen. Praise be to God.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy. And my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
trust in Jesus.
My life, trust him.
Oh,
my life, trust him.
In the midst of all of my trials.
My life, trust him.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our lesson in basic, talk through the Bible. I forget the day.
Yeah.
And talk through the Bible with our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins. I'm going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How about you?
I'm okay for now. Waiting for a word from my son to let me know how things are going, but you know how that goes.
Learn to trust the Lord. I have to truly trust in the Lord.
Exactly. That's what we got to do. Yeah. Trust in him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we were up to, we still doing the epistles, right? The Pauline epistles.
To what's his name? Romans. Because we had to read the book of Romans from chapter 1 to chapter 3.
Yep.
And something, I think up to chapter 3, verse 20. Yo, stop. I'll put you back in there. Behave. Okay.
Yeah, up to chapter 3, verse 20.
He's acting like a crazy dog right now. Yeah. Okay, so Barbara will not be with us this evening. She said that Wednesday.
She's back Wednesday.
Yes,
yeah.
They don't come back, so she won't be with us tonight. For a while, anyway. Every so often, she'll come in.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So we had chapters 1-3, which is all about sin. Let me pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We're just so anxious to get into your word, Lord God, but we just want to thank you and praise you for your word, Lord. You are so awesome, so wonderful, so gracious, Father. Dear Lord God, I ask you to look into each and every one of our hearts. Take away anything from us, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, Lord God.
Lord,
to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and guide our mind, Lord God. So we rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We rebuke being in darkness because Jesus has brought us into the light, into the marvelous light, Lord God.
Yes, he has.
So we thank you for the light that Jesus has shined on us, Lord God. We thank you for just the knowledge, Lord God, that there's nothing that we can go through here on this earth that could be anything compared to the life that we have in Jesus Christ and in eternity, Lord God. Your word said no eyes or ears have seen, Lord God, what it is that you have in store for those who love you.
Yes, Lord,
so we thank you for that, Lord God. Especially as we go through our trials and tribulations here on earth, Lord God. We know that they're to come, Lord God, and we thank you for giving us the strength, Lord God, to endure it and to hold tight to you, Lord God, knowing that your will, Lord God, comes before anything that we think.
Yes.
Anything that we want, anything that we want, Lord God, your will is so much greater because you know what is best for each and every one of us, Lord God.
Yes.
You know when it's your, when it's our time to be with you, Lord God. And we are your vessels here on earth, Lord God, to share your love with everyone that we come into contact with.
Yes.
So we welcome you, Father, into this session, Lord God. We know, Lord God, that you have filled this granddaughter in your hands, Lord God, the best place it could ever be, Lord God. So we thank you for that, God, and we just want to bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Yeah. So, we're in Romans, and just a little overview is that Romans calls magnum opus, they call it, is placed first among his 13 epistles in the New Testament. While the four Gospels present the words and the works of Jesus Christ, Romans explores the significance of his sacrificial death. Using a question and answer format, Paul records the most systematic presentation of doctrine in the Bible. But Romans is more than a book of theology. It is also a book of practical exhortation. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than fact to believe. It is also a life to be lived. A life of righteousness befitting the person through the redemption says in Jesus Christ. And we found that verse in 3:24 where it says, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So the book of Romans is broken into three sections, which is the revelation of the righteousness of God, which is the first section, which is actually chapters 1-8. The third section of it is the vindication of the righteousness of God, and that's verses 9-11. And then we have the application of the righteousness of God, which is verses 12-16. And we read 1-3 as our homework assignment, which is the condemnation, the need for God's righteousness. This chapter was all about our need for God's righteousness. And second is the justification. So we have the condemnation. Then we have the justification. This is the inspiration for God's righteousness. And that will be the next set of chapters, chapters 3:21-5:21. And then we have sanctification, which is the demonstration of God's righteousness. And that will be chapters 6:1-8:39.
Amen.
And then we move on to Israel's past, the election, Israel's present, which is the rejection, the restoration, and Israel's future. And Israel's rejection is chapter 9. Israel's rejection is 9-10:21. And then Israel's future restoration is all of chapter 11. Our Christian duties come from chapters 12-13, 14, and the Christian liberty, which is the rest of it. So first we learned the topic in the first three was sin. Then the topic in 3-5 is about salvation. And 6-8 is about sanctification. And then we have the sovereignty of God and our service. And it says that the place that was written, it was probably written in Corinth. And it was basically written in A.D. 57, Book of Romans.
Okay, so what is C-A-D? What does C stand for? At the bottom, the time.
I don't know why they put that little C before A-D. We know that A-D is Adonis Yos, which is after Christ. It's 57 years after the death of Christ, but I don't know what that little C is. Let's see.
Oh, okay.
When it's written like that. Let's see if we can look it up. Let's see what that is. And paste it.
Maybe it could be Quran. Quran AD 57. Just a guess.
So C A D means computer added design. It said computer added design.
Yeah.
Computer added design. I'm like, that's not what it is.
No.
C A D in time. Yes, I watched it. Put it C A D in time. C capital
AD.
You mean Google?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says, Comet Era. This new system is not, it says with the, which stands before the Common Era, a C and E for Common Era. The new system is now widely used as a way of expressing the same period. BC, AD, but without the Christian reference. According to this system, we count time backwards. Well, I know that.
What is CAD? I mean, why the C before the AD?
I was just curious
because I usually you just see AD or whatever, never see AD before time.
That's right. No, doesn't really give a good explanation.
We'll get to it eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So to that. So introduction and title. So Romans, Paul's greatest work, is placed first among his 13 epistles in the New Testament. While the four gospels present the works of Jesus Christ, Romans explores the significance of his sacrificial death, using a question and answer format. Paul records the most systematic presentation of doctrine in the Bible. Romans is more than a book of theology. It is also a book of practical exhortation. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than fact to believe. It is also a life to be lived, a life of righteousness befitting persons. And although some manuscripts omit in Rome, in chapter 1, verses 7 and 15, the title Pros Romaeus to the Romans has been associated with the epistle almost from the beginning. So chapter 1, verse 7 says, to all those in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is talking to the Romans.
Yes.
And in chapter 15, he says again, thus I am eager to proclaim the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Okay. So the author. All critical schools agree on the Pauline's authorship of this foundational book. So Paul, and 1:1 says, Paul, a slave to Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. The vocabulary, style, logic, and theological development are consistent with Paul's other epistles. Paul dedicates this letter to a secretary named Tertius. And he does that in chapter 16, where he says, I, Tertius, the one who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Remember, we found out that Paul did use scribes to write his letter.
Yes.
Right? And and he would sometimes sign it to confirm that, yes, this is really coming from.
Right. So he was like dictating to the scribes what to write.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yes.
The problem arises not with the authorship, but with the disunity of the epistles. Some Latin, but no Greek manuscripts omit a portion, which is a lot. It's
from 15.
Chapter 15:1. To 1624. So we're not going to read all. But the closing doxology, could you get 1625 and 27?
Okay. Okay, 25 to 27 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles." So now he's talking to the Gentiles. "A plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen."
Okay, right. But it says that this closing doxology is placed at the end of chapter 14 in some manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
These variations led some scholars to conclude that the last two chapters were not originally part of the epistle, or that Paul issued it in two editions. However, most scholars believe that chapter 15 fits in logically with the rest of the epistle. There is more debate over chapter 16 because Paul greets by name 26 people in a church he has never visited. So let's read, could you read chapter 16?
Sure, because that's kind of interesting. Okay, Paul greets his friends. He says, "I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, who is..."
Phoebe.
Phoebe?
Uh-huh.
Say it again.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce that name, is Phoebe.
Phoebe, okay. "Who is a deacon in the church in Centuria. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people." It's a woman? Okay. "Help her in whatever she needs, and for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I am thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Impetus. He was the first person from the Providence of Asia
to become a follower of Christ. Did I pronounce that right?
Let me see. What verse is it? I'm in another.
Verse five.
Verse 5, and night will not exist. That's not it, huh?
No, it said also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend. It's still verse 5. All of this is verse 5.
Okay, I'm good, so.
You see it?
I think I jumped to another chapter. Priscilla and Aquila, and down. Okay. Also, greet the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, Epenetus. Epenetus.
Epenetus.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, close. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings.
Oh, to be Epenetus.
Huh?
I think it's Epenetus.
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 Mm-hmm. Epenetus. Okay. He was the first person from province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus, and Junia, my fellow Jews, who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampelitus, my dear friend in the Lord. Oh boy. Greet Eubinus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Thomas, a good man whom Christ approves, and give my greetings to the believers from the household of and greet Herodon, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the house of Narcissus. Narcissus.
Narcissus. Mm-hmm.
Give my greetings to Trifenia.
Trifosa.
The Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, Jesus, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to, all right, pronounce them.
a syncretist.
Okay.
A syncretist Feligan. A syncretist Feligan.
Uh-huh.
Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
Paphos.
Uh-huh.
Hermes. And the brothers with them.
Who met with them?
The Philologus.
Keep going.
Julia. Nereus. And Sisca and Olympus. And all the saints who are with them, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. And conclude with an exhortation. Now I exhort you, brothers, to look out for those who cause dissension and temptations contrary to the teachings which you learned, and stay away from them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own stomach, and by smooth speech and flattery they deceive the heart of the unsuspecting.
Mm-hmm.
For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, and I want you to be wise towards what is good, but innocent towards what is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And in short time, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And then there's greetings from Paul's associates. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. And Lucius and Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And Sosipater, my companion, my compatriot. I, Tertius, the one who wrote this letter, greet
uh-huh.
you in the Lord. Gaius.
Mm-hmm.
My host and the host of the whole church greet you. Erastus, the city treasurer, greets you. And Quartus, the brother. And then the Benedictus. You can read the Benedictus.
24 is the benediction.
Yeah.
Okay, 24, where are you? Oh, I remember, okay, in my book, 24 is mentioned in chapter 16.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
So here it says 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with all of you. Amen. Oh, so you don't have that.
Not in the New Living. For some reason,
oh,
they left that verse out.
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay.
That's why it's very good to have more than one Bible.
Yeah, because it went from
23 and skipped 24 and went to 25. Where it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you strong, just as my good news says, this message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you, Gentiles, a plan to keep secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, yes,
amen.
We have here.
It said, it's omitted portion.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because 24 at the bottom of the amen says that may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Still other add this sentence after verse 27. So what they did, they put 24 down after 27.
Yeah. The verses really got really confusing.
Yes,
because this one that I'm reading, it doesn't have, it ends with 24. There's no 25, 26, and 27.
And then this in the New Living is no 24. It's 25 through 27. So they omitted, they omitted some manuscripts and added verses.
Let me think what the new... what the New American Standard Bible has.
Okay.
Let me see. I have the actual Bible itself. Let me see what it has for Romans.
Romans 16. So the New King James Version says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the New Living, they omitted 24.
Yes, it's omitted from the New American Standard. It goes from 23
to 25.
Uh-huh.
Yep, that's
and
what
it also says that in the commentary it says 1624. Many translations do not contain this verse, which is verse 24.
Mm-hmm. So this one does not contain verse 24.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Sorry.
Okay, so it says that some scholars contend that it was a separate letter, perhaps written to Ephesus, that was appending to this epistle. Such a letter would be surprising, to say the least. Nothing but reading, especially in the ancient world. It is simpler to understand the list of greetings as Paul efforts as a stranger to the Roman church to list mutual friends. Paul met these people in the cities of his missionary journey. Significantly, the only other Pauline epistle that lists individual greetings was addressed to the believers of Colossae, another church Paul had never visited. It may be that this portion was omitted for some copies of Romans because it did not seem relevant. So,
what?
That's about the author. You know, when they were putting the canon together, you know, they omitted things.
Omitted a lot. Yep.
Right. So the date and the setting, Paul did not found the church at Rome, and the tradition that Paul was its founder, contrary to evidence. The tradition that Peter was its founder is contrary to the evidence. It is possible that it began when some of the Jews and proselytes to Judaism who became followers of Christ on the day of Pentecost, which was Acts 2 and 10, returned to Rome. But it is more likely that Christians from churches established by Paul in Asia and Macedonia and Greece settled in Rome and led others to Christ. So that makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. According to this epistle, Gentiles were predominant in the church at Rome.
Yeah.
But there were also Jewish believers. So let's read. Let's take 1 and 13. We got 11 and 13 and 11 to 28. Okay. So you could take, I'll do 1 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
It says, now I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, that often I intended to come to you and was prevented until now in order that I might have some fruit among you also, just as also among the rest of the Gentiles. And then 11:13, and you can take 11:28 through 31, children.
Okay.
Okay, but 11:13 says 11:13 says, but I am speaking to you who are Gentile, in as much then as I am apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. Definitely talking to Gentiles. You can take.
Okay, 11:28 through 31 says, many of the people of Israel are now.
Hold up, Hilda. Let me close the door. I can't hear what Robert plays drums.
Oh, what?
Oh, God.
Why he does that when we are doing lesson? That's not very rude.
Yep. Okay.
11 and 28 says, many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves, because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against them, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share God's mercy.
And then the 15 through 16 says, but I have written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So then it goes on to say, but there were also Jewish believers who called.
Yes. So not all of them rejected him. So
right. So there was a lot of people who converted.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a lot of chapters to read, you know, chapter
2:17 through 3:8.
So those are the chapters where we learn about the Jewish believers. We're not going to read all.
Okay.
Because we're going to through the Book of Romans anyway. Okay. So Rome Rome was founded in 753 BC.
Hmm.
And by the time of Paul, it was the greatest city in the world with over 1 million inhabitants.
Whoa.
One description says over 4 million.
Hmm.
It was full of magnificent buildings, but the majority of people were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Opulence and squalors coexisted in the imperial city. So what is an opulent? You look up opulent. I'll look up scholar. Squalors. I think squalors is just people who lay around.
I don't like squalor.
It is squalor.
Opulence is a great wealth or luxuriousness, rooms of spectacular opulence. So there were rooms in the Colosseum or in the buildings of Rome, but they were a great wealth. You know, like when you see those Roman pictures and you see how beautiful the colony is in there, the rooms.
So those people were rich, the opulence were rich people?
Yes. They were great wealth or luxuriousness. And after
so that
it's rooms of spectacular opulence.
So the opposite is squalor, because squalor is a state of being extremely dirty and unpleasant, especially as a result of poverty and neglect.
Wow.
So it looked like it was extreme. You were either opulent, rich,
or you were squalor.
So it was like maybe nothing in between.
Mm. That's something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they were in the imperial city. So inside inside of Rome was beautiful. But on the outskirts of it,
So that's why we see when the sentence actually says opulence and squalor coexisted. In the imperial city. Right. So that explains. So they were both. You got the rich and the extremely rich and extremely poor.
Just like today.
Yeah, but we have a middle class. We have a middle class.
No middle class. It's either you wealthy or you poor. No middle class. That middle class has been obliterated.
No, it's not, Hilda, because you're not poor. I'm not poor. Poor is people who are homeless, people who don't have jobs. So I don't consider myself poor, and I definitely know you're not poor.
No, because I thank God I got a roof over my head. But, the way that things are, it just seemed like, it's only two classes instead of three.
No, but it's not. Because, I know the difference between poor and where I am today.
Right.
And there are still people who are less fortunate than we are.
That's true.
So
that's
I think that it's like it doesn't. God has blessed us.
Yes, he has.
Because of his blessings, we can't look down on it and say, you know, because I know I have food to eat tomorrow. But there are people who don't know they have where they're going to get their next meal from.
Yeah, so, and you know, as you said that, I heard that one lady was saying that on the news from the fire.
Right.
From the fire, she was saying over there in Fordham Manor. She was saying that, you know, now they don't even know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know where they're going to have a roof over their head because, according to them, they're not getting any help.
Wow, yeah.
But the people saying that they, you know, they're there, that all those people slept on the bus with their children and everything instead of, you know, the Red Cross putting them in rooms or hotels or whatever. They slept on the bus for how many hours?
Right. Yeah. They don't, look, I don't even know we just had a busload of immigrants that just got here. So that's the other thing.
Why we don't have any rooms, and this is why they're constantly building up these hotels around the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're still a middle class elder. It hasn't been diminished yet.
Okay. I believe you.
Because you, whether you believe it or not, you are the middle class. Okay.
I would definitely keep that in mind.
Exactly.
To God be the glory.
His
goodness.
So the church was well known, and we see that in 1 and 8 that says when Paul wants to visit Rome, and it says, first I give thanks to my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being proclaimed in the whole world. So, and Paul got around, so he knew that this was true. And it had been established for several years by the time of this letter. So 414 and 415, 14, and if you can get 1523, but 14:14 reads, I know that I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself except to the one who considers something to be unclean. To that person, it is unclean. Mm. So that's in reference to how the church had been established for several years. But I guess there was some Jewish believers who believed that, you know, how they believed that they were unclean because they weren't circumcised, but they're Gentiles.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
And then what's 15:23 say?
15:23 says, but now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. So since now he done did what he had to do, so now he's eager to meet the people in the church in Rome.
Right. Yeah. So,
but isn't that what apostles do? They go around forming churches, and they once the church is established, they turn it over to their the people that work for them.
Yeah, they turn it over to the leaders of the church, right?
Right.
But like Paul did, you know, he still sent letters, encouraged them, popped in on them, had someone still sending letters encouraging them after they've already been established, which was necessary.
Absolutely. Because, you know, like some of us believers, man, we can get discouraged very fast.
Right. So, and Paul knew that. That's why he, you know, kept on them.
Amen.
And so the believers, they were probably numerous, and evidently they met in several places, and we already read chapter 16, which listed all the people that he was listing, right?
Right, right.
The historian Tacitus referred to the Christians who were persecuted under Nero in AD 64 as an immense multitude.
Yeah, he was
an multitude. That was like hundreds of people.
Yeah.
The gospel
Nero was terrible.
Left by practically a dysfunctional polytheism of the Roman religion. So they believed that polytheism, you know what polytheism means?
No, I forgot. What was it? Poly.
Well, anytime you hear the word poly.
Yes.
Poly in front of any word, you know, you can remember this always means many.
Nay?
And so many, many. Poly,
many.
Many. Yeah. And theism is, what do you think theism is?
Theism is a belief.
In what?
In Christ.
Not Christ.
And
what theism means,
in,
theism stands for God.
Okay.
Like when you right, because theology, the first part of theology, theo. Theo means God. So theology is the study of God, because ology is always the study of something. Like when they break the words down in English, they'll say ology. Anytime ology is on the end of anything, it means the study of. Right. So polytheism means, what do you think polytheism means?
Many gods?
Yep, exactly. So it says here the gospel fills the gap by the practical defunct, and you know defunct is get rid of, right?
Yes.
The defunct of the Roman religion. So the gospel...
Yeah, so they had many gods. They didn't have one god.
And he's saying the gospel did what?
The gospel filled the gap left by the practically defunct polytheism of Roman religion.
Right. So what was the, what does that mean, the defunct polytheism of Roman religion?
They got rid of the statues of those different gods.
Right, it means that now that whole polytheism of the Roman religion was defunct. It was no longer existing anymore.
Right,
because as Christianity grew, the idea of polytheism also diminished. So Christianity increased while polytheism diminished. Yes. Oh, come in. Come in.
Yes, after 8.
Let me get the door. Hold on. You want me to get the door? I'm coming. All right, Robin. Hi, Daddy. All right, love you.
Bye. Okay, Hilda. Okay, love you. Have a good evening.
Okay, pray us out, though.
Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that was said tonight and all that we have learned. Thank you for life, for strength, health.
wisdom and understanding, Lord God. Thank you for blessing each and every one of us this evening and guiding us in the way that you would have us to go. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Forgive us for our sins, knowing and unknowing, and give us grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Good night, Hilda.
Good night.
Have a
Bye,
good one.
Everybody.
Bye. Okay. Praise God, defunct. And on that note, we are out.